Garage Logic, broadcasting live from the office of the mayor above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake. Featuring the rookie on production, Chris Reavers, vice president of social media, and John Hite in the newsroom. Now, the fireworks commissioner, flashlight king, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
We're live at Back to the 50s. We're at O'Gara's, and I bet the car owners love this weather because they're not going to overheat when they chug around the grounds at slow speed. Say, can I make a Jimmy Butler observation? First, I got to get everybody to have a headset.
It's your show.
We have to switch headphones, sorry.
Could I possibly believe what I saw in photos of Jimmy Butler, that he doesn't have tattoos?
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's a miracle.
Well, there's
that's a miracle.
He's not the
miracle.
Only NBA player to not
yeah,
have a tattoo.
Carl Anthony Towns and him. That's it. The two.
Two
those
guys,
are the only
huh?
two. Those are the only two guys. The only two guys.
I can't, well, Ricky Rubio doesn't have any tattoos.
Okay, three guys. There's three guys that don't have tattoos.
I don't know. Manny's running the board. Manny, help me. I know there's more than three guys in the NBA.
But my hat's off
Ricky
to Jimmy Butler
tattoos.
Is what I'm saying.
Oh, Ricky does have tattoos.
Yeah, he has
tattoos.
One on the
so
back
said,
of his
there's
neck.
Two guys.
Okay.
Carl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. That's
okay.
It. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, good. Thank you.
It's a
that.
Great trade, that's, though, if you're a Wolves fan.
We are live at Back to the 50s.
But you base your player popularity on if a guy does or does not have tattoos?
That's how I judge it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm an anti-tattoo guy.
And you're a student of the game.
That study the NBA.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Did anybody watch the draft last night? Was
Duh,
it out of the background?
Yeah.
Okay. How
I did not.
How uncomfortable does that commissioner look when he is greeting those guys for the first picture?
He looks like a space alien.
He looks like he's going to take flight with those ears,
yeah.
baby.
Yeah.
He is just, he really does. It just looked weird.
I've got 2.5 miles under my belt so far today. I did a lot of. I was at studio working and prepping, and I thought, what am I doing? Why don't I get out and look at cars rather than sit here in the building and
work?
Well,
I thought you'd have been here when they opened.
Huh?
To look around, like right away.
Oh, no. I came and I had an hour to walk around, and I had an observation. What is the most important piece of equipment you must bring to this show? The most important piece of equipment.
I know, but I think I know. I'm not going to blurt it out.
Huh?
Phone.
No. Nope.
Microphone.
Johnny, you got a stab at it?
I don't know.
Rookie's writing down his answer.
Does he have it?
Yes. It's the chair. You got to have a portable chair.
Oh, sure.
Somebody
sure.
who invented these lightweight canvas portable chairs is living on Jupiter Island.
Yes. These aren't the old-school beach chairs that you fold out.
Yeah,
or, I don't even know what that material was.
No, they can get them bunched up like you're carrying a baseball bat.
Exactly.
You know? And
exactly.
then you set it up, because if you don't have the chair, you're done.
I like to sit every day.
You can also wear these chairs as a backpack for mobility. Usually you have to carry two chairs, one in each hand. Now you can put them in the backpack.
It's fantastic.
They come with the little bags now. You just fold them up and put them in the bags.
Right.
That's the kind I'm referring to. Remember yesterday a completely ridiculous lawsuit against Menards and Home Depot because 2x4s aren't 2x4s and 4x4s aren't 4x4s.
Uh-huh.
Frequent emailer Michelle writes, cake pans also have an industry-allowed wiggle room. 9x13 pans are not necessarily 9x13.
No.
I'm not going to break out a ruler and then go yell at the people at Nordic Ware. All right, thank you for that. I hope that lawsuit goes nowhere.
I know I was gone yesterday, but why are people so concerned? Do they feel they're getting cheated by
an
eighth of an inch?
If I had to guess what it
hey
is,
now.
It's a if it's a completely arranged deal. The law firm probably found some saps to go to Menards and Home Depot and break out a ruler, and then they think they can file a class action lawsuit. Any reasonable judge would throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, this is ground zero for Garage Logic at one of these events.
These people are all garage logicians. There's probably a couple of euphorians in here, but that's okay because they appreciate the engine.
I don't think they're.
Uh-huh.
But if they are, you're right. They're here because they have a cylinder in there.
Right.
Are we awaiting Steve Payne?
He's going to be around next hour just to stop by and say hi for 5 minutes.
Well,
just
I'm
to
looking
say hello.
Forward to talking to.
He's a participant.
To Dale Solstra, who's on the board of the Minnesota Street Rod Association. He's from Duluth. And he's been on the board a long time, and I had other questions that developed as I walked the grounds. And
as is your norm, when you are walking around the Garage Logic service road of life,
yes.
you made an observation, and your observation, I think, is spot on. I hope you're incorrect for the future, and it really made me think when you just told me 5 minutes ago.
Okay, I follow the collector car market pretty carefully. Mm-hmm. I get marketing magazines, and most principally I'm interested in British stuff. But I
are you doing it because you're interested in making a purchase, or you're just curious about...
Curious, and I own a couple. I want to know what their market rates are. And I've noted this. The values, and somebody can straighten me out, there are more knowledgeable people here than me. But on Model A Fords, for example, you can get a really, really wonderfully done Model A Ford for, I'll just throw out a number, 20 grand. That's okay. Cheaper than 25 years ago. You're running out of the people who even remember what they were.
Right.
Early MGs, post-war MGs early, I think they've peaked. And so as I was walking the service road of life, I thought, how will this survive generationally? And
so get here while you can, folks.
Yeah, right.
No. It's packed.
I know.
It's wonderful, but how long can that be sustained when you have young kids today are basically more interested in their phone than they are in a car, much less a 57 Chevy. Yes, you over there in the corner.
Well, I think the vast majority of people that are here because they want to look at the vehicles. They might not necessarily make a purchase or even own one of the vehicles. Do you know what I'm saying? So,
boy, I wish I had my CAT scan.
No, my point being, Joe, you're basing the market on people that are, you're talking about the prices of the vehicles. Well, that's based upon...
No. Well, here, maybe I misspoke. Based on the prices of vehicles, I can see that certain vehicles have peaked in their value.
Sure.
And I would suggest that the reason for that is because the world is run out of the buyer for that vehicle. They're old and they're dead.
Sure.
And that's why the price is coming down. That's why a Model A is 20
grand. You can get a beautiful Model A for a reasonable money.
But I'm agreeing with you in that, you know, one out of every, whatever, 5 to 10 people are the one that are going to purchase a vehicle. But that doesn't mean that the other 9 are not interested in looking at the cars, which will sustain this event.
No, you're still missing.
No, I'm nailing it out of the park.
You're still missing the point.
Boom.
The typical. Well, we'll find out when we talk to.
Dale's right here. Why don't we go ahead and take our break right now?
Dale's here,
and we'll take our break and we'll come back chatting with Dale.
All right, let's do that. We'll be right back.
Garage Logic live from the State Fair at O'Gara's. It is Back to the 50s MSRA.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you from here to Bahamas.
We're live at the Back to the 50s Minnesota Street Rod Association show at the State Fair. We're in O'Gara's. We have with us Dale Solstrom of Duluth, longtime board member of the Minnesota Street Rod Association. And Dale, I've got 2.5 miles in so far today, and it's a great show. It seems to be packed as usual, but I started noticing that most of the guys showing cars are our age or older, and I'm wondering what the future holds. I know that's something your board must discuss frequently.
Yeah, we talk about it. I'm not sure there's an easy answer.
Right.
We're working with mentoring youth.
Right.
We've worked with an Igniters program. MSRA has a scholarship program, to try to encourage young people to further their education, maybe move into some automotive-related fields, that type of thing. Myself, I've got my son and daughter.
Right.
And my grandkids here this weekend. Both my kids are driving their own cars here. And,
oh, okay. Yeah, but they're coming in. They're genetically predisposed.
Right. Pretty much.
Right. But maybe that's the only saving grace is... Because Dale's kids or his grandkids had fun driving in the car, number one, and then working on the car. It's more grassroots that you pass it on in your own garage as opposed to drawing new people in.
Yeah, but I do it, and I have nobody in my family interested.
Well, that means they have to spend more time with you, though.
No, it's the cars are right there in the garage. They can take them and use them if they want to, and it's just not happening.
You know,
when Dale and I were in high school, we were talking about this off the air, the typical high school parking lot was virtually a car show.
It sure was. Same in our school.
Yeah. Where are you from, Duluth?
Yeah, up on the range.
Yeah. And today you drive by a high school and look at the parking lot, and it's mom's minivan in there.
Yeah, or a little box thing.
Right. Is it possible in the future that the date of the car will right now it's 1964 and earlier. Is that correct?
That's correct. But
is there any talk about moving it up to 1974 and earlier?
Oh, where are you going to put the extra cars?
That, in other words, it would be so successful that you wouldn't have the room for it. Is that a problem?
That would be the problem right now. You look out here, and there gets to be parking wars.
Right.
And that's Friday's the mellow day. Saturday, it really gets heated, and people, there's no place to park. Well, really, there is, if you look. If we put 2,000 more cars in, boy, oh, boy, the grounds are going to be taxed. They're going to be taxed.
How many cars are on the grounds right now, estimate?
My guess is there'd probably be 9,000, 10,000 maybe right now.
And they leave every night.
They leave every night.
That's where your parking wars come
in. All right, here's another thing I wanted to ask you when I was strolling the grounds. How is the parking determined? First come, first serve?
First come, first serve.
Are there places on the grounds that are considered to be more coveted than other places?
Oh, yeah.
Shade, I suppose, right?
Shade, visibility.
Right, right.
Visibility. Underwood and Randall, Cooper and Randall, streets, they're coveted hotspots, and especially right on the corner.
And are there gambits that people pull? Do they leave chairs there overnight or a blanket or something? They're not supposed to, are they?
No, there's no lawn chair parking is allowed. I'm not going to say it does not happen, but
it's discouraged.
Oh, it's heavily discouraged. You know, one way to look at it is, okay, if you're saving a spot for your buddy, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't get up early enough in the morning to come in with me, and I don't save her a spot.
Okay.
But, you know, that's if she wants to get up early, then, you know, she can park with
us. When did the gates open?
6 o'clock you can get in.
And then usually, it's a free-for-all. Free-for-all?
Yeah, usually, sometimes it might be around 5:45, 5:50. The cops will finally have enough and say, get these things off the road, get them in, open the gates.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good car show. At 6 a.m. walking, you know, watching them rolling through.
It's tremendous. I'd have a problem because I'd need an escape route. I don't know where I'd park. Our cars, I haven't walked down that far. Are cars all the way on the Midway area, for example?
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So every inch of the fairgrounds are covered.
Every inch of the fairgrounds are covered. If you go back down Randall and it snakes around, hooks up with Dan Patch, there's a median in the road. The cars are in the median.
Right.
There's an area, grassy area back. They're all jammed in back there.
This is the 44th show at the fairgrounds.
It is.
And you're to be congratulated. It's just been a tremendous success. How was it determined, if it was called back to the 50s, why were there even 60s, 61s, 2s, 3s, and 4s allowed?
Well, it's kind of a holdover a little bit. Some of the cars still held some of the same styling cues and so forth from the end of the 50s, and it just it ended up that way, more or less.
What was magical about not allowing 65? I've heard a couple versions. One, the place would be too flooded with Mustangs, and two, what, was 65 considered the beginning of the muscle car era?
That's more in tune with the correct answer. We have nothing against Mustangs as opposed to other vehicles.
And 64 Mustang could be in this show, right?
That's 64 and a half, and that's greater than the 64.
Oh, it can't be then, can it?
Uh-uh.
I keep thinking Mustang was 64, but it was introduced halfway through the year.
Yeah, it was like March or April of that year, so they call it a 64 and a half.
Right.
So if you take numerical, 64.5 is more than 64. So.
Okay, I'm not going to try to get one in here.
Well, thanks. We'd pull your sticker.
What are you showing?
Me?
Yeah.
My golf cart. You don't have
time to do a car.
No, my kids, right outside, there's a 54 Pontiac station wagon.
That beater I saw?
Is that a beater?
Oh, it looks terribly original. I love it.
That thing is terribly reliable.
Well, it's not rusty.
No, not through.
It just looks horrible.
Yeah, it's a cool car.
Yeah.
It gets a lot of attention. My son has driven that car over 80,000 miles since he turned it into a hot rod.
Isn't that something?
And he's been to Texas. He's been to Well, he's got all the stickers of states
right.
on his back window that he's been to.
Does he ever intend to restore it?
He's going to leave it the way it is in patina.
Originality is trumping restoration in a lot of cases,
it
don't
is.
You think?
Well, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's finally come around to being in vogue. I know about 15, 17 years ago, I had a 61 Pontiac wagon that had rub-through paint kind of a thing.
Right.
I put it in the car show in Minneapolis with a display, set it up, you know, kind of a neat original display kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And they thought it was just a joke.
Really?
Now
it would not be considered that way.
Oh, no. And it didn't have rust, but the paint had faded through. And,
that's now called patina.
It's called patina.
Yeah, originality.
And that's coveted. People pay big money to get a patina paint job.
Oh, yeah.
Huge money.
Is the majority of people here, is it just to say, look at what I've got, or what percentage are selling? Or do they have to declare?
Well, I saw a lot of cars with for sale signs. You can post a for sale sign.
Yeah, you can. There's no problem with that. I would say the majority of people are here having a good time and parking, being with their buddies.
So the guy is just doing the for sale sign to appease his wife. Hey, well, I got it for sale here.
Right, right. Well, there is some of that. Hey, Bell, you need to sell that car.
Well,
sure, then he puts $160,000 on it.
Right.
I got it for sale.
Yeah, yeah. Right. After 44 years, I bet a lot of people are here because they've just made a lot of friends over that time, and that's a yearly rendezvous for them.
Oh, yeah. Lots and lots of people make good friends, lifelong friends, and they're good people.
And are they spread out at hotels all around the metro?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would have to be because there's nothing really very close right here that would accommodate this many people. Plus, you don't want to be too far away, though, because then you miss the cattle call at 6 in the morning.
I was driving down past 494 in the Bloomington Strip area, and in the parking lot of three different hotels, I saw people gathered in the parking lot with their lawn chairs sitting around. And this was in Bloomington. I said, those guys are MSRA people.
Well, when they leave here, they have the show in the hotel parking lot.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an all-weekend show. You know, it would be interesting. I don't know if a study has been done on the financial impact that Back to the 50s has on the Twin City metro area.
I'm sure it's significant.
Super Bowl-esque. Probably even more so.
It's very significant. Very significant.
For several days, there the...
Too bad Snelling Avenue's torn up.
Yeah, well, here's the clout we've got. It was torn up. They put it back together and have it open for us for this event.
Oh, for Pete's
sake. We work closely with DOT.
Oh, good.
I'm going to quit going to Jerry Hammer for help, and I'm going to go to you from
there. Well, that's where MSRA has clout.
Dale Solstrom, thank you very much for joining us. It's fun for us to be here at O'Gara's, and we're going to come back with Johnny Height and in his remote broadcast news center in just a moment.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my wings.
Gee, we even found bumper music to accommodate the Back to the 50s theme, huh?
It's called Manny Hill on top of it, bro.
Here's John Hyde in his remote O'Gara's Restaurant News Bureau stand.
Huh? Yeah.
Yep.
That's where I am.
Stand would be the right thing at the fair.
Yep.
It would. Sunny and 69 degrees. This update is brought to you by Pleasureland RVs. The big news last night, the NBA draft came from the Minnesota Timberwolves. They made that big trade. They got Jimmy Butler from the Chicago Bulls.
He doesn't have tattoos.
Has no tattoos. Yep.
I heard that.
Yeah. They traded Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and the 7th overall pick in the draft to get him. The Wolves also end up with center Justin Patton with the 16th overall pick in the draft. That was part of the trade. He went to school at Creighton. He averaged 12.9 points, 6.1 rebounds, and 1.4 blocks a game. He is 6'11" tall. Twins on the road for a while now, I think 11 games. They're in Cleveland tonight, where Adalberto Mejia will face Trevor Bauer. I have such a hard time saying that.
I hope he can win.
I'm going to call him Bert from now on.
Yeah,
okay?
Roberto. And roll your R's, too. Roberto.
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Reavers.
So, Joe, the Twins had a nearly five-hour rain delay yesterday.
Right.
And then, you know, what's his name, Turley, was nice enough to just end the game in the first inning without recording an out because the White Sox jumped out to a 5-0 lead.
Did all he throw was a fastball, right?
Here's my question. At the end of the game, there were a few people that were still there.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know what time you get
why
over.
Why would you have, well, I don't know, 7?
No, it was 8:30.
Was it 8:30?
8:30, 8:15, something like that.
You never know when you're going to get a foul ball or maybe a home run ball, something like that.
I guess, but holy cow.
That's you paid dedication. Your money, you're going to stay.
I suppose.
Right,
you know, Twins did something kind of cool. Even if you stayed for the game, you can get a ticket for another ball game.
Oh, okay,
so
that's
whether
nice.
You if okay. you left, you can get a ticket for another ball game, and if you stayed. You
were
can
they
get a
handing
ticket.
Them out at the exits?
No.
Not quite?
Not quite. Trevor Bauer will pitch for Cleveland tonight. By the way, going into this series in Cleveland, the Twins are in second place in the American League Central behind the Indians. They trail the Tribe by 2.5 games. Some roster moves from the Twins. They're calling up pitchers Trevor Hildenberger and Dillon Gee. Dillon Gee, that might be a familiar name to some folks. He spent time with the Royals, among other teams in the major leagues already.
Is his last name just the letter G?
No, it's G-E-E.
Oh.
Like G, Joe.
Yeah, G.
He was signed this week. Hildenberger has been pitching well at AAA Rochester. The aforementioned Mr. Turley has been optioned to Rochester. And infielder A-Ray Adrianza has been placed on the disabled list. He has some abdominal.
Dillon is the grandson of Golly.
Is he?
Golly, G.
Wouldn't it be neat if there was a pitcher named Reilly? You know, Bob Reilly.
Oh, right.
Really?
Who's pitching tonight?
Just really?
Really?
I hate to bring this up, Chris, but does that count as a pun? Golly,
oh,
golly,
geez.
Yeah,
I hope not. I hope not.
Might be walking home.
Banned from doing that.
News notes from today. We have some breaking news this afternoon. The Minneapolis Fire Department reports there's an incident involving hazardous material on the 400 block of East River Parkway. The University of Minnesota sent out a text message stating, "We are currently evacuating the."
Are we safely far enough away?
I think so. You're all right.
Are we all right?
Are you ever?
Are we okay?
Are we ever?
The statement said, "We are currently evacuating the Masonic Cancer Research Center at 425 East Parkway due to a possible chemical spill. Please leave the building in a calm and orderly fashion. The department is investigating reported spill of that substance and wants the public not to get near the area." Lawyers for Minnesota state legislators and Governor Mark Dayton filed a flurry of legal briefs ahead of a hearing Monday in that lawsuit over the governor's line-item veto of most of their funding. Legislature says the House and Senate will be forced to cease operations and furlough hundreds of employees if a court doesn't overturn the governor's vetoes. A man from Preston, Minnesota, was arrested after he stole a police car, led officers on a pursuit. That, according to a release from the Mankato Police Department, police called to the 100 block of Hanover Street in Mankato to look for Daniel Eugene Zulke. He had an outstanding felony warrant in Fillmore County, but when police got there, he ran from officers, jumped in a police car, drove away, and fled the scene.
Jeez.
Mankato police pursued Zulke with the assistance of Blue Earth County Sheriff's Office, the Waseca County Sheriff's Office, and the Minnesota State Patrol. They stopped him using spike strips near Waldorf. He ran a short distance, but was taken into custody by
police officers. At some point, he should have just made a U-turn and then joined the chase.
Hail the Volk!
Hail the Volk!
North Korea today called itself the biggest victim in the death of an American student who was detained for more than a year and died days after being released in a coma. The North's official Korean Central News Agency denied that North Korea cruelly treated or tortured Otto Warmbier and accused the United States and South Korea of a smear campaign that insulted what it called its humanitarian treatment of him.
I don't believe them.
Yeah, I don't either. Comments published by KCNA were North Korea's first reaction to Warmeier's death. Pardon me, I have to lick my fingers.
Was this event a week earlier last year?
I don't recall.
Because the U.S. Open was on when we were here last year.
It was?
Yeah.
Then I would say it must have been, because the U.S. Open's always the same time of the year, isn't it?
I think it's always Father's Day.
Okay.
You have an amazing memory, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
That's very right. I did not recall that at all. I never would have retrieved that information.
Johnny Depp did a stupid thing. Depp asked a crowd at the Glastonbury Festival, "When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?"
Oh, my God.
Remarks came during a segment yesterday in which Depp was speaking about President Trump.
There's only one time.
Only one time. That's
yep.
right.
Who was it, boys? There was only one time an actor assassinated a president.
John Wilkes Booth.
There you go.
He asked the question at the annual festival that celebrates the performing arts. He followed by saying he's not an actor but someone who lies for a living. However, he then added, "It's been a while, and maybe it's time." As Joe said, of course, John Wilkes Booth, the man who assassinated President Abraham Lincoln, was considered one of the great stage actors of his time.
Depp was at this festival to introduce a screening of his 2004 film, The Liberty.
You know, rumor has it, though, that Lee Harvey Oswald played a mean tin man in the community theater that, before going to Russia. He tried
Why doesn't
to...
the Secret Service take a guy like Depp and just have their way with him?
Make an example of him?
Yeah.
They did respond this morning, said they were looking into it. Mm-hmm. The Secret
They're not
going to
do anything more than that.
We do have some President Trump news. The president calling for a new law barring immigrants from getting welfare for at least 5 years at a rally this week. However, apparently neither the president nor the 6,000 of his supporters who cheered seem to realize that law has existed for more than 20 years already.
Fail.
Trump received a standing ovation and pledged his administration.
Would Don't ask me.
Yeah. What do you think about that old situation, Joe?
Don't ask me.
Who was the guy that whispered into the Donald's ear?
Hey, we already have that
we
one.
We got that one going, yeah. Chief.
Trump received a standing ovation and pledged his administration would put that legislation into effect very shortly.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
President Bill Clinton signed the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act back in 1996. That law does prevent immigrants from getting federal benefits like food stamps, Medicaid, and Social Security for 5 years after entering the country.
Do you have any update or have you seen any updates on whether the Pride Festival people have rescinded their police ban?
They were allegedly looking into it last I saw.
I did hear that it's been lifted.
It has been.
Yeah, I thought I read that this morning. I will double
check. But that's not going to stop me from pointing out the incredible windmillings and hypocrisies and ironies that took place there.
Yeah.
That isn't verified. You hearing it is not. We're a fact-based show.
I thought I read that this morning, but I'm checking right now.
Oh, you're going to go on your social media?
Yeah.
No, it can't be a tweet. I got to have a news source.
I got in a little bit of trouble at home today watching that on the news, and I reported to one of my oldest children that they're not going to allow gay cops to march in the Pride Parade. And my wife jumped all over me saying, dummy, you didn't listen to the entire story. Because I saw a couple of...
We're going to get to it.
Okay. I got it right here, Joe.
We'll come.
They did reverse their course here.
All right. Is it a tweet or did you go to a news
source? No, it's a news source.
Thank you.
Chris, it's a news source. They reversed course, decided to allow uniformed police officers to take part in the annual parade this weekend, and apologized to local law enforcement for failing to have a fuller discussion before excluding them from the event.
Did Betsy Bicycle ever weigh in, I wonder? She was strangely silent throughout.
She was. Just the chief is all I saw. Yeah.
Well, the chief was understandably upset.
Sure.
You're kicking out the lesbian police chief of your town. You won't let her go in your parade. What kind of people are you? We'll talk about it later.
Well, plus they didn't even ask her.
Right.
You know. Well,
thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. We're going to be back with Dave Dahl's very unseasonably cool weather forecast.
Dream.
We're joined by Dave Dahl with his Channel 5 weather forecast.
Thank you, Joe.
Hi.
We've got some scattered showers out there to the west of us right now. Most of the activity is west of the line from St. Cloud all the way down to Mankato. But there are a few sprinkles even making their way through the Twin Cities. We'll probably see a scattering of showers through this afternoon into this evening. And then once the temperature starts to cool off, these showers will go away. Mainly clear skies overnight tonight. Temperatures drop from a high today of 72, probably down to about 56 tonight. Tomorrow's high only around 70. Some more afternoon scattered showers pop up. And that'll be the same story on Sunday. Sunday's high, again, may make it back to the upper 60s. And then next week, it warms up, starting out in the 70s Monday and Tuesday, into the 80s for highs by Wednesday and Thursday of next week. Again, today, getting up to about 72, Joe, but some scattered showers developing as we go through the afternoon. They're not going to last very long in any one spot, probably about 10 minutes. So they'll be brief, but there'll definitely be a few showers that will be dodging all the way through this afternoon. Right now, Joe, we're at 69.
All right, thank you. Yes? In Minneapolis, organizers of Sunday's Twin Cities Pride Parade asked the police department to limit participation following the acquittal of police officer Geronimo Yanez in the death of Castile. The openly gay police chief said the decision was divisive and hurtful to LGBT officers, which the organizers acknowledged. But Twin Cities Pride board chairwoman Darcy Bauman said the decision was made to be sensitive to those grieving after the verdict, and seeing those uniforms brings angst and tension and the feeling of unrest.
Not for me.
Well, that's now been reversed, correct, John?
That's correct.
That's been rescinded because it looked just too preposterous to disinvite the gay police chief of Minneapolis. So, but here were some of the ironies. It wasn't that police couldn't attend. They couldn't wear their uniforms. Isn't that tantamount to saying you have to remain in the closet? isn't there an irony there that says, look, you can't really reveal who you are. You can be in this parade, but you can't be in the parade with your uniform on.
Yeah, it is.
They put police back in the closet.
You can be there, but we don't want to know. You have to change your appearance.
You can't be who you are. You got to wear a different outfit.
Why, though, when you get to that level where the police protect you, and regardless of what's happened in the past here, that's a fact. Police are there to protect. And when you see an officer in uniform, you know that you need to act a certain way.
I mean, well, plus, here's what I want to know. What did the Yanez acquittal have to do with gay pride? I guess if you read between the lines, the LGBT people of color were the ones expressing some fear that they would feel threatened by police there because the verdict was traumatic for them, and therefore they wanted to de-emphasize the police, and that's why they were only going to have one unmarked car leading the parade. Well, apparently that's been changed now, and they're changing it. But I did get some information from a city worker in Minneapolis that safe spaces have been created in Hennepin County work areas.
Like a tent?
I don't know. Safe spaces have been created if you were unnerved by the acquittal of Yanez. So there were safe rooms you could go to, I guess.
What do you do when you go to the room? Is there a couch that you lay on and you talk with the doctor? How does this make you feel?
You'd be safe is what happens. So anyway, that's all been changed because they look so foolish. I mean, you got an openly gay police chief in Minneapolis who's done nothing but work her whole life to protect gay people, and now they're telling her, I'm sorry, you're not wanted.
Who do you think came to their senses? Do you think somebody
was Twin Cities Pride Festival Board, whoever rules it, I don't know their organizational structure, but
well, and there was so much backlash from everywhere.
The comments in the paper were just right on the mark, and hundreds and hundreds of people commented on both the Tribune website and the Pioneer Press website, pointing out this ridiculous hypocrisy of denying gay police the right to march in the parade. For Pete's sake, they just realized, man, we are looking stupid, and so they changed it. What was your source for that, Channel 5?
It was the Star Tribune website.
Yes.
And so that's a minor ray of hope that the line, the line always keeps going this way against GLers. This is one where this is, okay, we stop the line from moving because somebody felt emotional about an issue rather than the fact is the police are there to protect you when you are in the middle of a parade.
12 people came to the conclusion that the state did not prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. I understand completely why people would be upset with that, but that's what happened. And
that's the way it works.
And I am clinging to my original comment that I don't think law enforcement will suffer if Yanez never works another day as a police officer in his life. That would be my position on that. But you have to accept the jury verdict. We put 12 people in a courtroom. Right. This is what they're supposed to do. And they did it. And they came to the conclusion that the state did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Yanez was guilty. Now, why you would need a safe space to recover from that, I have no idea. But I guess that was one of the things the Pride people took up. But last year, the Pride people were the ones clamoring for more police because last year you had that tragedy in Orlando that Pulse nightclub, remember?
Right.
I just hope everything works well. And now if I was in that parade, I'd feel a lot better about it knowing that there would be more coppers around.
Mm-hmm. What would you wear in that parade? What would you be wearing?
My cowboy outfit.
Okay, good.
Well, you probably
wouldn't be alone on that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I have a nice one. Yeah, with the hat and the whole deal.
Some chaps. You got some chaps?
Yeah,
some
I got the thing.
Leather chaps. Yeah.
Leather ones.
Oh, it is, you know, A for creativity in that parade. There is, I mean, that's a sight to see.
Oh, it's tremendously creative.
Right.
You should have gotten a gig to set up the industry in Loring Park.
You know, we thought about that, but we thought about, you know, a lot of times at that parade, there's alcohol that's consumed.
Yeah.
And nothing is worse than trying to make a wax hand
when it's shaking.
Right. When they're half in the bag, they need to keep their hands straight.
You know what else? I wonder if parade participation numbers will be in decline because of these horrible, horrible traffic problems we're having. The Lowry Tunnel will be closed, light rails down.
I'm glad you went there.
Okay.
I have an observation.
Here I am, yes.
And I have a prediction.
All right.
Because we talked about this the other day with the closure of 394-94 interchange. I have a prediction.
All right.
We are going, and I hope that this does not happen. We are going to have a road rage death this summer. You can't.
Jeez, I hope that doesn't happen.
I'm telling you right now, Joe, the traffic is already horrible, and they're going to make it worse. And we have people that are so inattentive when they're behind the wheel. Something really bad is going to happen, and it's because MnDOT has made it impossible to get anywhere.
What are we doing to the tunnel? What are we doing to the
Eastbound
94.
It's apparently being rehabbed. Brickwork or tile work.
Exactly. Putting new materials in is what I read.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they're cleaning up that milk spill you were talking about a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was whole milk.
Yeah.
We found out later.
I don't think that we can hang a road rage incident on MnDOT. I think it'll be more likely to be brought about by, again, someone driving carelessly, texting.
But I guess that's my point.
I was northbound on 35 this morning and going about 70 and had to slam on the brakes and find an open lane because I'd come upon somebody going 45, and I looked at her, and she was like this, and I just honked, and I tried to get her attention. She didn't look up from texting.
No, this is what
going
I'm talking 45 about.
45 miles an hour in the left lane of the freeway.
Right.
That's going to cause your problem.
That's going to kill somebody.
Well, you're darn right it is. We're going to be back. We're live at O'Gara's. We're live at the Back to the 50s show at the State Fairgrounds.
It's a Scramble Friday.
Yeah, it is. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, we're live at O'Gara's. Right when you come in the fairgrounds, you see Danny O'Gara's place, and it's a wonderful. The food smells here are extraordinary, but even better is the smell of all that petroleum. 9,000 cars on the fairgrounds.
I followed a Studebaker in, and all I could smell all the way in.
Was it a Hawk?
I don't know.
A Champion?
I'm not your car guy, but it was an old, really cool-looking Studebaker.
Well, it's got to be old if it's here, Johnny. 1964 or earlier. We're going to talk to Steve Payne when we start the top of the second hour, and we have much more to come. As I say, live at the Minnesota Street Rod Association, Back to the 50s at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, 1500 ESPN is KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis. It's cool and windy and lovely. We'll be back shortly.